Ramsey TV.
The path of least resistance. That's the phrase I was looking for yesterday. I couldn't quite come up with it, but that's exactly why religious people of the West glom onto Christianity, why religious people of the East glom onto Buddhism and Hinduism, why religious people of the Middle East become Muslims, glom onto the Islamic religion. It's because it's the path of least resistance. It's going with the flow. And again, the Queen of Sheba traveling to see Solomon, that was definitely not the path of least resistance. There was a lot of resistance on that path, and there certainly is a lot of resistance on our path. Welcome to the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. I'm Martin Zender. I was just out in the rain. I had to get something from the car. It's really raining here, but I wanted to wear this t-shirt, even though, yeah, I'm all wet. But this is a shirt given me by Caitlin and Johnny Green when they came to visit me a couple years ago. It's Fort Myers Beach. It says here on my t-shirt, although it's wet, but hey, it's the Florida way. And I would like to shout out Caitlin Green and Johnny Green and Kathy Green in Ohio. Caitlin, of course, lives on the Gulf Coast in Fort Myers, recovering from the terrible hurricane there. We keep all those folks in our thoughts and our prayers. They're still trying to bounce back from that terrible event. I'm bouncing back from a tough week of broadcasting here. I'm celebrating the end of the week with some Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey here, sharing that with you. Although you're watching this at breakfast time, so you might not be drinking anything like this yet. But if you're drinking coffee or orange juice, welcome. Join me for a toast. Here's to getting out of here 2.5 minutes from now. Now, I'm going to say something right now that may come across to you as outrageous. And it's the title of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to relish your final moments of anonymity. Because, my friends, you're going to be extremely famous very soon. But right now, you're anonymous, you're despised, you're put to shame, you're rejected. But there's some sort of bittersweet satisfaction in knowing that we're gutting through this time, that we're getting through it by faith, that God is giving us endurance, and we're gutting it out. There's much treasure to be taken away from struggle. And these struggles that we're going through are working for us, an aeonian burden of glory. Now, I'm going to draw an analogy from an event that I draw a lot of analogies from, and that is my transcontinental bicycle trip of 1980. I bicycled from Los Angeles to Boston, 3,364.2 miles. I did that between June, I did that in 46 days between June 10th and July 26th of 1980. But there's one part of that trip that I've never shared with you. And as I was meditating upon it, that trip has never left me. It was such a turning point in my life. It really caused me to understand that I could be self-sufficient, that I could get through trials. It was really good for me. I was 20 years old. It was a really formative event in my life. But I experienced a strange thing on the way home, and I'm going to share that with you now, and I'm going to compare it to us being almost home, what we're doing now, and how we ought to feel about it, and it'll help things go better for you. It has for me. So I finished this trip on July 26, 1980, and I was booking my flight home. Now, a lot of my friends and family were following my trip. I sent postcards home. This was the days before cell phones, before internet. Anytime I called my parents, I had to put a quarter in a phone booth. Those were the good old days. But I flew from Boston to Pittsburgh. And from Pittsburgh, I would take a connecting flight back to Akron Canton Airport, where I had started 46 days before. And I boarded that plane in Pittsburgh. And it was a short flight, maybe an hour flight. And in that hour, I was reflecting on the trip. And I realized that I was going to be getting off the plane and coming into the warm embrace of my friends and family, who had told me that they were all going to be at the airport waiting for my heroic return from this epic journey. And it occurred to me on that plane that I was the only one who could really understand that journey, what it did for me, the difficult times that I had gone through. It's not easy to bicycle across the United States. I faced trials on that trip. My friend, my boyhood friend, Jim, who started the trip with me in Los Angeles, quit in Las Vegas. He really couldn't handle the Mojave Desert. He was in better shape than me, had a better bike, but apparently I had a better mind. I had a better disposition for the trip because he couldn't take the waste, the heat, the vastness, the emptiness of the desert, and he quit, like I said, in Las Vegas. So I'm reviewing this, and I thought at the time, this is kind of funny, I found, out in the desert, I found this drinking establishment. It was a bar, and I was really thirsty. I didn't drink any alcohol in those days, unlike today. I need it today. I went into this bar to get a Coke, and there was a bunch of tough Western-type cowboy types. And there me walking in, the Midwest kid on his bicycle, walking in my little bicycle shorts, carrying my helmet, pulling up a stool at the bar next to these truck drivers and cowboys. Hi, guys. It's a wonder I didn't get killed. But I'm ruminating on everything, and I'm savoring it because I know that once I arrive at the Akron Canton Airport and I'm swallowed up by my friends and family who will not understand anything about what I went through. They could only imagine. I realized that I was going to be giving up the sole ownership of this thing, and I was going to be sharing it with other people. And in a way, the trip was going to be compromised in a way because it would no longer be mine. It would belong to everyone. And so it was just a beautiful, peaceful flight. And I was savoring the aloneness. It was the aloneness of that trip, especially after my friend left, that had such a profound effect on me. And I knew I was my own best friend and that I could be good company with myself, if that makes any sense. And I fellowshiped with myself, and I fellowshiped with God, and I fellowshiped with the landscape. I even fellowshiped with those truck drivers and cowboys. I fellowshiped with cows and jackrabbits and rattlesnakes. It was such a private time, really, most of it. And that was all going to go away once I came off that ramp, off the plane. And that's exactly what happened. I came off the ramp, and my sister was there, my parents, a bunch of the neighbors, my girlfriend, and everybody just ringing bells and yay, clapping and everything. And it was definitely over at that point. I was a celebrity. The aloneness was gone. And some of the joy of the aloneness, the self-discovery, the self-awareness was also gone. It is like that now for us. In the body of Christ, we are going to be very famous very soon. And we are walking the final steps of our anonymity, the final steps of our aloneness, the final steps of a trial that has made us, that has tempered us, that has formed us. We are going to see, when we're changed, we're going to see how valuable every single trial was that we went through. And folks, we're on the flight right now from Pittsburgh to Akron Canton Airport. We are that close to arrival. to arrival in the land of celebrity, of celebration, of glory, of meeting our Lord, of meeting the Apostle Paul, of ruling the angels, judging the angels, ruling the angels, administering God's kingdom throughout the Empyrean. We are ready to disembark upon that glorious landscape. And we're almost there. But I'm telling you, there's going to be a part of you as we rise to meet the Lord in the air that is going to miss the sweet aloneness, the bittersweet pain of becoming tempered and true. And we're going to look back at this planet. Mark my words. You're going to look at me at the snatching away, and you're going to say, yeah, you were right. I didn't think it was possible, Zender, but you were right. You're going to say that because you're going to look back on the planet Earth. And you're going to look back at it with fondness, with a bittersweet fondness. And you're going to say, you know, I would not be in the position I'm in now without that Earth, without everything I went through down there. And you're going to look at it wistfully, not longingly. I'm not saying we're not going to be glad to be done with it. I was happy to be done bicycling 80 miles every day, carrying 60 pounds of gear. I was glad to be done with it, to be honest with you. But in that interim, between being done with it and not quite being done with it, it was a time of sweet reflection. And we're going to experience that as we rise to be with the Lord. I think of Apollo 13, and I watched a documentary about Apollo 13, you know, the three astronauts that were going to the moon, didn't quite get there. They had an accident in the command module, and they were lucky to get back to Earth. In order to survive, they had to crawl from the command module into the lunar module because that's where there was extra oxygen and extra supplies, extra power. They were going to use the lunar module to land on the moon. That was out of the question. They just wanted to get back to Earth now. And the lunar module became a lifeboat for them. Fred Hayes, who was the lunar module pilot, said that in this interview I saw. I've never forgotten it. This is what he said. He said, if I could, I would grab that lunar module that's still circling the Earth, and if I could grab it with a rope and put it in my backyard, I would. Because that was our lifeboat. And he had a fondness for that tin can with no luxuries, barely enough heat to keep them warm, barely enough air to keep them breathing, barely enough food to keep them alive. And yet it was the means of their survival. And Fred Hayes, Apollo 13 lunar module pilot, from the comfort of his easy chair, decades later, looked back on that time with fondness. I'd love to see that thing again. I'd put it in my backyard if I could. Can you believe this? I'm telling you, you're going to look back on this Earth wistfully. Like, wow, why didn't I appreciate more now that it's over, now that it's done? Why didn't I appreciate more everything God was doing with me there? Yeah, it was hard. Yeah, it was difficult, but there was something that I'm now savoring about it. I realize how important it was. I realize how critical that time on that planet was for what I'm experiencing now. I wouldn't be here now without it. Boy, if I could capture that thing and put it in my backyard as I'm gallivanting and ruling and reigning among the celestials, I would do it. I would do it. But you know, all the hard edges, all the sharp points of these experiences are going to be softened in the eons to come. I look back on my bicycle trip, bicycling through the Mojave desert for 2 weeks. Temperatures 115 degrees, or in New York on Highway 20 from Buffalo to Albany, up and down those hills during a heat wave, wondering if I was going to get up that next hill. Just one of the hardest struggles, the hardest physical trials of my life, really. But now, 40 years removed, or whatever it is, I look back with fondness at it. Boy, that made me. That really developed me as a person. I'm the way I am now, partly, in a large part, from that trip. It goes along with Hebrews 12, the discipline of the Lord, not seeming to be pleasant at the time. But when it has done its work, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those trained by it. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. When we at last taste that peaceable fruit, we're going to look back at the disciplines and we're going to appreciate them, and they're going to be so soft focused to the point that we will even look with bittersweet appreciation at this old planet Earth and realize there's no way I could be where I am now without that. God bless you, planet Earth. God bless you. 1976 Ross Grand Tour bicycle. God bless you, lunar module. God bless you, body of humiliation, for working in me what needed to be worked in me so that I could enjoy aeonian bliss and even eternal bliss with my Lord and Savior. The very one who wisely put me through the trials on this planet.